Today I want to share with you a topic called the body of Christ. When we were back in Houston, our grandchildren come over to our house every Saturday, and their one kind of toy they love to play is the Play-Doh. And I don't have Play-Doh in front of me, but you all know what Play-Doh looks like, right? It's very easy to work with and pliable, and they cut it into all kinds of shape and push it into all kinds of cubes and take it out, and you know, in a minute they change the shape and put it into another shape. It's very, very interesting, and I love to see the way they play. Play-Doh is a very dynamic entity, and I think that we could use that to describe our church. You say, what? Really? Yeah. But see, if you have a piece of Play-Doh in front of you, and you take a piece out, okay? You take a piece out and put it aside, and then you continue to work on the little dough that you have. Pretty soon, that Play-Doh, you will become one full entity again. It seems like it doesn't miss that little piece that you've taken out, right? Then, if you add another piece into that Play-Doh and you work on it again in a little bit, it will become, again, one whole entity. You cannot distinguish which is the part that you put it in. It is because it's very dynamic. And I think our church is, you know, like the Play-Doh. It's very dynamic, okay? This is a 1,000 people church, right? And every Sunday, we have new visitors coming to our midst. Every week almost, we have newcomers. We have new family moving in. And we welcome them. And pretty soon they become part of our family, part of the church family. And also, I know that almost every week there are people moving away for different reasons, okay? Jobs or others, or maybe we have some elderly that pass away. And we miss those people. However, you know, the remaining body of Christ, and we work together again, and it become a whole entity again. Of course, we miss those people that move away. But again, we are okay into one whole family again. So it's very dynamic. A few months ago, I heard on the news that Apple's coming to Mesa, right? They're opening up a command center in the city of Mesa, and the mayor gets so excited, you know, get on the news and talk about it, and the governor get really excited too, because Apple is going to invest $2 billion in Mesa to have a command center. And guess what? There will be a lot of Chinese engineer coming too. So you guys be prepared to welcome all these new people. I'm sure some of them are Christians. We're going to welcome them to this new church family, and we become a big family. So be prepared, you know, to welcome a lot of newcomers. Now, in the Bible, there are many metaphors that describe the body of Christ. And I'm just going to go down the list very simply. In 1 Peter, Peter said that we are a temple built of living stones. So all of us are living stones building on each other to become a temple of God. And this temple is where the Holy Spirit lives in. So the Holy Spirit lives in you and lives in me. So we together are a temple. Then Paul, in his letter to Timothy, said that we are a household of God. So in other words, he said we are all like a family. And we all have family. And you know, in a family, we are supposed to have love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. And of course, we should help each other out too. So we are the whole family of God. Then, another common metaphor is that we are described as sheep of God. And God is the shepherd. And we all love that favorite Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. So we are the sheep, and the Lord is the shepherd. And Jesus himself said he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep, and his sheep recognized his voice. Then, in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, is talking about that we, the church, is the bride of Christ. And when Christ returns, he is the bridegroom. And we as a church need to prepare ourselves, purify ourselves, and ready for him to come and receive us into heaven. Now, so there are many, many metaphors. I don't think I exhaust the list. But today, we're going to talk about another metaphor, is that we are described as the body of Christ. And we're going to spend a little time talking about that. Now, we all have our body, right? We all have our own body. Yes or no? Only a few of you have it. We all have our body, right? Yes, yes, we do. So we know our body very, very well. And whenever we're talking about our body, the first thing we think of is what? That we have a head, right? And let's talk about the definition first. Christ is the head of the family. So all our body, we all have our own head. In the church, in the body of Christ, Jesus Christ is the head of the whole body. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it said, he is also head of the body, that is the church. And so whenever we're talking about a body, we have to have a head. Then, of course, we have to have the rest of the body, right? So we are also the body of Christ. And also, we have double identity, actually. We are also called the individual members of the body, okay? So we are, as a whole, we are the body. And individually, we are different members. Just like your whole body, you have a head, you have a whole body, and you have all the other parts of the body, members, like your hands, your feet, and so forth, okay? And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 27 say that, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it, or a member of it, okay? And we have many, many parts in our body, and they all have different functions. And all of the parts are very important. They may be, some of them may be more prominent, more important in function, but we need every part of it, okay? Ephesians chapter 1, 22-23 said that, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, and the church, which is his body. So now we understand, Christ, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body. We, as a whole, is the body of Christ. And then each one of us is the members of this great body. Now, let's continue to look, okay? So the church, in other words, is also equivalent to the body of Christ. And let me just spend a little time to talk about the church. There are two kinds of church, actually, or two categories. One is the local church. Our GPCC is a local church. That means we are a church in this city. There are many, many local churches in this city. Next door is our Lutheran church. It's our, you know, our brother and sisters too. And I say it's a localized church. It's not a local church because there is a denomination called local church. And they are also part of the local churches in this area. So this is a visible church. That means we can come actually see, okay, a certain address. There is a physical church that you can see that filled with Christians. Then we are also have another category called universal church. This is invisible church. What is universal church? Well, it is all, consists of all the Christians that believe in Christ. And they consist of the people since the beginning of church, when the Pentecost, when the first church was born. From then time till now, okay? Every church that proclaims that the name of the Lord is part of this universal church. And it can be in different countries, in different cities, and all together we are all part of this universal church, and it is invisible. And then Christian, everyone is a part of this body. There's a verse that I think is very important. It sums up, you know, what we're going to talk about today. Can you all read for me? For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For the body is not one member, but many. Yeah. When Paul wrote that letter to the Corinthians, there are reasons. And he went into the detail talking about the whole bodies. Because at that time, the Korean church having some problem. The problems of people fighting with each other, and people in trying to tell that, I'm more important than you. I belong to a certain group. It's very interesting. They are very spiritual. They say, well, I belong to Apollos. And then the other group say, no, I'm more spiritual. I belong to Paul. And then, you know, and then another group say, no, I belong to Peter. You know, he's the head of the church. He's more important. And then, of course, the most spiritual group are the ones saying, no, I belong to Jesus Christ. Now, that's the most spiritual, right? Can you top that? No way. So they were fighting with each other, and they are trying to see who is more important in this church. And they are divided up into groups, you know, like, I belong to this group, and I don't want to associate with you, or I'm more important than you. So Paul, in order to encourage them and to point them to the truth, he wrote this letter in chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, talking about the details of the whole body. Now let's just going to see what he said, okay? And I said the whole letter is saying that the whole importance of member, everybody, every member is very crucial. Now it's a long passage, so what I would like you to do is ask you all to read it. In terms, okay? I'm going to ask the sisters to read one verse and then the brothers to read the next, okay? Sister first. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, not a part of the body, it's not for this reason. Brothers, if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, not a part of the body, it's not for this reason, any the less a part of the body. Sisters? Yeah, brothers, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. But now there are many members, but one body. Yeah. It's very interesting that Paul talking about a different part of the body. And he's using a metaphor, of course. Say, the foot. The foot would say that, well, I don't really belong to this part of the body. Why is that? And I'm thinking, well, the foot probably, you know, kind of feel have a low self-esteem of himself, okay? You know why? Because let's look at your own whole body. The foot is at the bottom, right? And I don't know, if you are from Hong Kong, then you will know a long, long time ago, we always say that people that have smelly feet, we call Hong Kong feet, you know. That's because the athletic feet smell terrible. Our foot is not the most elegant part of our whole body. And so the foot, Paul is saying that the foot is probably having a self-low esteem. And so he's talking about to the other part of the body. Say, well, I am not a hand, okay? You know why? Hand, we all have our hands. Our hands is in a prominent place, right? Whenever we talk, you know, we use our hand and do so all kinds of stuff. And we point to people this and that, right? It's very important. So the foot is saying that, well, the hand is more important. You know, I am the smelly feet, but your hands are good. You know, well, you are more important, okay? Paul said that, no, we shouldn't have that kind of thinking. Then he also saying the ear. Well, the ear, talking to the eye, say, well, I'm not an eye. I'm not as good as you are. And honestly, our eyes is the prettiest part of our body. Right? Do you agree? You don't agree. Okay. I want you to do this for me. I want you to say hi to your neighbor. Okay? Just say hi to your neighbor, left and right. Left and right. Yeah. Now, tell me, when you say hi to your neighbor, which part of the body do you look at? The eyes. I hope you look at the eyes. You didn't look at any other part of the body, right? If you do, you'll be in big trouble. You know why? Our eyes is the soul, is the window of our soul, okay? And our eyes is the prettiest part of the body. And so no wonder the ear said, well, although I'm part of the head, I'm pretty high, you know, in the position, but I'm not as good as the eyes, you know. So he is also having a little, lowest self-esteem. Now, we continue. So Paul is saying to them, well, you really should not have that kind of thinking. Because although the eye is very important, but the whole body is the eye. Can you hear anything with your eyes? No, you can't. You know, can you cover up your ear and see if you can use your eye to hear me? No way. You can't, because it's different function. We need each other. And also, you know, if the whole body is an eye, can you smell? Can you smell with your eyes? No. Although our eye can be very sensitive, you know, some strong smell will get my eye to water. But using the eye to smell things, no way. Okay? Because we need each other. Yeah. He's saying that God has placed the members of each of us in the body just as he desired, because it has its own function. And we all need each other. We cannot say, well, I don't need you, or I'm more important than you are, and I can function without you. Well, for example, I want you to look at your own body, okay? If you can tell me which part that you think is extra, you can cut it off. Is there any part that you can cut off? Not the fat, but that's different. That's a different story. Other than that, all parts are important, right? We need each part. And each part has its level of significance. And we all need each part of it, okay? A few years ago, Josephine and I went to China to do short-term missions. And we didn't know the Chinese culture too well. One time when we were catching a train to go from one city to another city, so I went to the train station and tried to buy a ticket from this lady, and she is sitting, you know, like where I am. So I came to the front and talked to her, but she was facing this side, you know, doing her work computer. So I talked to her. I said, well, can I, you know, I spoke Chinese, right? So I said, well, can I buy a ticket and go so and play? And then she just keep talking to me this way, and then she never looked at me. And I kind of get a little annoyed, you know, so I try to catch her attention, talk a little bit louder, but she continued to do that. And then later on, she just gave me the ticket and without looking at me at all. So I thought to myself, wow, why is she like that? And then later on, someone told me, okay, I don't know how true is that. Well, you know, in China, the ladies are not supposed to look at you in the eyes. I said, really? Now, I have some people confirm that to me, that's part of the culture. But and then, of course, the other part, you know, of the culture, they told me, no, that is not true. He's just being rude. So I don't know which is which. But I think in some of the culture, especially in Eastern culture, you're really not supposed to look at people's eyes. Okay, that's different culture. And interestingly, when I went back to Hong Kong, and I went back to Hong Kong only a few times all this year, so every time I went back home, I get lost, right? So I always have to ask direction. One day I caught a policeman. He's standing like this, and I need direction. So I came this way and I asked him. I said, so-and-so policeman, can you tell me how do I get to, you know? And again, he just looked straight ahead, and he just goes, I don't know if it's the culture or it's just people are rude, but some culture, you cannot look at the eyes. But very interestingly, eye is very important. Now, I want you to take a step back and think about our church. Well, you know, people, we are the humans. We like to compare, you know, and say, oh, wow, I'm not that important in this church. And a lot of people say, oh, you are important because you are a pastor. And I said, well, not really, because we need a congregation to work together, right? And, you know, as a pastor, I can compare too, you know. I can say, oh, well, I'm not as good as Pastor Derek, you know, he preached really well. Well, he's here, if I say that. Yeah, and then Pastor Derek can probably be compared. Say, well, you know, our church only had, English congregation have a couple hundred people. There are big churches that have like, you know, several thousand people, right? And then that church, I know in Scottsdale, there's a church like 7,000 members. That church pastor could probably compare, say, well, although we have several thousand members, but there are mega church that, like in Houston, you're talking about Houston. Houston has several mega church, and they have 50,000 members. Yep, that's real, okay? So if we want to compare, we really, there's no limit. We need to be content with where God put us and serve faithfully, because comparison, that's not what God wants us to do. And same thing in this church, you know, there are many parts that you play that are very important. No one can replace you. You know, whether it's in the audio department or in the praise team or even in the kitchen, you know, everyone need to work together so that our church can go on. Not that anyone is more important than the others, because God has placed the members, each of us, in the body just as He desired. Now, which means that all of us need to work together, right? You can't say, well, I'm going to be a part that I don't need to do any work. No, our whole body work together. Whether it is the parts that you can see or the part that you cannot see. We're going to continue, okay? Many years ago, the medical society came out with a conclusion. Said, well, appendix is not important. Let's just cut it out. Because appendix sometimes have problem, right? Get infection, and this causes a lot of problem, and sometimes could be fatal. That's many, many years ago. But now we know appendix, although it doesn't have a certain function, but it's very important too. The research told us that nowadays, if a person have diarrhea or intestinal problem, the appendix is the place that will send good bacteria to our intestine and to help us get well. So appendix also has its function. And I'm sure as the research go on, there are more functions that they find. There is no extra part in our body that we don't need, okay? Now, let's continue. Very interesting. Let's continue to read. Our sisters, verse 22. On the contrary, brothers, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Yes. From verse 22 to verse 24, Paul bring up a very interesting analogy. He say that some of the body, some of the part of the body seems to be weaker, but they are more important. Well, let's think about what are in our whole body, which are the weaker parts that are necessary, that are important. Well, I can think of the organs, right? Our brain. Our brain is the most important part of the body, right? And why is it weaker? Well, because it's very soft. So we need our heart head, right, to protect it. And then our other part of the body are very weak. For example, our heart, we need our lungs and our muscle to protect it. So are the other, like the kidneys, the liver, in our intestines. These are all very important. Seems to be weaker part of the body, but it is necessary. Now, if you don't believe me, you know, if you can think, can you tell me if you ever seen a body walking around without a head? No. Maybe in cartoon, right? But in the real life, no. Because without the head, that person is dead. And also, can a person walk around without a heart? No. Because without the heart, the person is dead. So those are the weaker, seems to be weaker. Remember, look at the word. It says it seems to be weaker, okay? But it is very necessary. And then he also saying that there are bodies that are less honorable, but we bestow more honor to it. What are the less honorable? Well, I can think of, for example, the foot that I was saying, right? It is less honorable because sometimes it's smelly. And also when we walk outside bare feet, then it gets dirty, right? So you have to wash it. And also less honorable, I say, for example, for our men anyway, our legs are not, you know, as honorable because, you know, some of you have hairy legs, right? It doesn't look very good. So how do you make it more honorable? You put on pants, right? Cover it up. And then to make our feet more honorable, we wear them with what? Shoes. And we men have, you know, limited pair of shoes and just black, brown, and then a tennis shoe, right? But ladies, I know you all have many, many shoes, right? Why is that? Because you want to make it more honorable. So Paul is saying that it seems to be less honorable part of the body, but we try to make it more honorable by giving it more, you know, clothing to cover it up and to make it look better. Okay, now, then he continues to say less presentable members. What is less presentable? I can think of is our private part, you know, our private part of the body. We cover it up real well, right? I know not only with one layer, we cover it up with several layers, correct? I hope you all do, right? So then nobody will see your private part because it is less presentable, okay? And how do we make it more presentable? Again, giving it good clothing. You know, we have all kinds of clothing to cover ourselves up to make ourselves look presentable, okay? What is Paul saying here? I know he didn't go into detail how he explained, describing the church. But I'm thinking of, and I'm going to be very, you know, cautious talking about this. What are the weaker parts of our church members? Well, I can think of the probably our elderly, you know. Now they get old. They are not able to walk as far as you are. However, they are necessary part. Why? Because we need their experience. Their spiritual experience is very needed. And also they are our prayer warriors. They pray for the whole church. So they are necessary. They are weaker but necessary. Then on the other extreme, the other end of the spectrum are the children. The little kids, they are very weak. I mean physically, right? But they are very necessary. Actually, they are very important. Why? Because in 20 years later, those children will become the leaders of this church, right? So they are very important. So we, as a stronger member of the church, we need to take care of them, to help them out. And talking about our body, we know our weaker parts are the brain, the heart, the inner organs. What about the stronger members? What are the strongest member of the body? The arms, the legs, right? Now, like I said, you haven't seen anyone running around without a head, but you probably seen a lot of people that had only one arm, right? Or one leg, or even without both arms, the amputee. They still okay. Why? Because they are stronger part of the body. And they can function. They can live pretty well without those stronger members of the body. So Paul is saying, tell us very profound knowledge. So who are the less honorable and less presentable people in our church? And instead of going into detail to analyze, I'm just going to put in a lump sum, a big group. These are the people probably, you know, maybe they are has some physical disability, or maybe some mental disability that we need to take care of them. You know, I know that nowadays many autistic children, I'm sure in our church have some of those. They are the one that we need to pay more attention to, make them more honorable, and to not to look down on them, you know, and don't pay attention to them. No, we need to actually be more sensitive, go around and take care of them, give them more honor. When I was in Houston, I was the music director of one of the church, so I get to know a group of people. This group is very special. It's a chime group. They make up of autistic children. There are about 10 of them, and they were parents. Their parents are very dedicated, and they want to make autistic children special. So they form a hand chime group. And every week they practice with the chime. Those are long stick chime, not the bell. The chime is very easy to control. And they work together, and then on special occasion like Easter and Christmas, I invite them to our church to play some music. Well, mind you, it's very simple music. But you know what? It was encouraging to the whole group of the children. They were, after they present the song, the whole church clapped their hands, you know, give them honor and encourage them. And afterward, we gave them gifts. They were so happy. The parents are encouraged. The children were encouraged. And our whole church was blessed by their presentation. Now, that is what I call you give them special honor. Last year in October, our Cantonese congregation, we invited a musical group called New Heart to come and have an evangelistic meeting on Sunday morning. And praise God, we packed the whole place. We had about 140 people came. And it was very wonderful service. There was a couple that came in late. They were a little elderly. And the man came in with a walker. And he walked very slowly. And then after he sat down for a little while, someone told me that he had to go to the bathroom because, you know, he's medically challenged. So he had to go to the bathroom. And one of our brother, our older brother, he volunteered himself, and he walked with him to the bathroom, and he stayed there with him. He took a long time, like 15, 20 minutes before he came back in. Now, what that brother did to that guest, it is the special honor and a special love that he showed to the people that are, quote-unquote, less honorable or less presentable. I hope, brother and sister, you understand what I'm saying. You know, a lot of time we like to look at people, you know, outside, and we kind of judge them, you know. Even the Bible say that very clearly, right? You know, the Bible say if you see someone dressed very nicely, do you go and say, okay, come here, please sit in the front in an honorable chair? And then if you see someone came in with some dirty clothes and not very well dressed, do you just ignore that person, let him sit at the back? You know, this is, we are human. We need to be reminded of, we should not judge people by outside, by the clothing. We need to pay attention. You know, there are people in this church that need us to give them special honor and special love. And I'm sure God it will be pleased. Okay. Now, because of time, I'm just going to run real quickly to tell you that how important of working together is. Okay. Now, if you would follow me, okay? Can you move your hands? Just raise your hands up and move your fingers like that. Yeah, very good. All of you can do it, right? Because it's very simple. We take things for granted. But you know what? It is a very complicated action. Not only that moving the finger like that is complicated. Actually, everything is complicated. No wonder the psalmist say that this in 139:14 say, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Because in order to move our fingers like that, there are many parts of our body need to cooperate and needs to be healthy. A very simple physiology lesson, right? Number one is that we all have our central nervous system and then a peripheral nervous system, and they all need to work very well in order to let you move your fingers like that. And then the central nervous system, it consists of two main parts. One is the brain, the one that we talk about a lot, right? It's very, very important. The signal will go from the brain and through the spinal cord, then go through the peripheral nervous system, then go out to the hand. Now, I'm sure you have run into people that have a stroke, right? Because their brain was damaged and they cannot move their hands like that, right? A stroke patient cannot do that. Then you also probably know someone that had spinal cord injury, you know, especially the quadriplegic, they cannot move their hands because their spine was damaged, had a lesion. So in order to have the normal function like what we just did, our brain needs to be very healthy. We have to have a central nervous system is healthy. We have to have a peripheral nervous system is healthy. And if that's not healthy, if there's a problem with the nerve, you know, then you cannot move the hand. And I'm sure that you probably also know someone that have injury to their arm, and their arm is injured. They cannot move the fingers because the nerve is severed, right? Now, so if we have a healthy central nervous system, we also have a healthy peripheral nervous system, then the last part is our hand. Our hand has to be very healthy too. And we take it for granted, of course. And you saw that those nerve roots come out from the spinal cord and to go into our hand. Our hand also is very simple. Actually, there are three main nerves that innervated it. Number one is the median nerve. You take care of the fingers, all those three fingers in the middle. Then we have the ulnar nerve. We take care of the little finger. And it is not shown on the thumb. Actually, there's a nerve called radial nerve. Take care of our thumb. So in order to move my fingers like this, very simple task, right? All these three nerves need to be healthy. So in other words, a simple action like this involves our brain, our spinal cord, our peripheral nervous system, including all the nerves in our hand. So it's not very simple. So we really should not take it for granted. I was a physical therapist in Houston, so I know all these details. There are patients that I saw that had this kind of hand. It's called rheumatoid arthritis. They cannot move their fingers like what you just did because they have problems with the bones. You know, have to really inflame the hands, and their hands become crooked, their finger become crooked. So a simple task we just did, we really should not think it is simple. It's very complicated. Every part needs to work. Same thing for our church. You know, our church functions very well. Everything goes so smoothly every Sunday. But we should not take it for granted. It takes a lot of work together. Even, you know, I'm preaching here, you know, I'm not the only one to do all the work. You know, our brother's back there controlling the sound. He's working too, I hope, right? Because if he turn me off, and I cannot do anything, right? And then, of course, you know, there are brothers and sisters outside working, directing traffic. You know, we have ushers, and we have the praise team this morning. Every part is important. It's important to make it work. Seems like it's very simple. Seems like it's automatic, but it's not. It takes a lot of work from all of us. Okay, so let's see. In conclusion, okay, Paul said that, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Yeah. So we should not divide ourselves, you know, that, you know, we have three congregations in our church, right? We have the English congregation, we have the Cantonese, and then we have the Mandarin. We need to work together in a way that we care for each other. We should not, although we are not like that, okay? We should not divide up into, hey, I'm in the Cantonese congregation. I only care about my Cantonese people. I don't care about the English side nor the Mandarin side. We should not have that. And all our leaders in this church, you know, we should have the same kind of kingdom perspective. What is kingdom perspective? Which means that if the things that happen can benefit the whole kingdom, which include all the three congregations, then we should be happy. And we should dedicate ourselves to do it. Not only am I concerned about my little circle, we should be concerned about the whole kingdom, you know. And if we do that, then we will work together and help all congregations, everyone, different congregation, to grow and to benefit the kingdom. And the second point, I think I already mentioned that I would like you to be more proactive, which means that look around you, wherever you worship, whether in English side or Mandarin side or Cantonese side, look around if there's other people that need you to give some special attention or special love. You know, if you see an elderly coming to the church, don't just walk past it. You know, if the elderly need to walk in front, you let the elderly walk in front. Or maybe help her to, you know, walk into the church. All right? You see someone that in need, then let's be more proactive. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, saying that we should not look into our own interests only, but each of us should look to the interests of the others. So brothers and sisters, I hope that this will remind us that we are a member of this church. We are the body of Christ, and each of you has a part to play. And you know, you really should not just use the excuse that, well, I am a very quiet person, I'm very shy, and so I just come every Sunday and sit at the corner and enjoy the service and then I leave. Well, you need to get out of your comfort zone, okay? And reaching out to others. And of course, others need to reach out to you. But if you, you know, close yourself in, then nobody can reach you. So I encourage you to open up yourself and to look around if there's other people that need you to give a special blessing and love. May God bless you.